I'm so excited about the Bible. That the Bible is a very accurate book. Prophetically, it is very accurate. And, you know, in Leviticus, the Word of God tells us that, you know, they celebrated the Passover. And 50 days after celebrating the Passover, they celebrated the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Pentecost. I want you to know that. 50 days after the Passover, and remember, the Passover lamb symbolized or represented Jesus Christ. That Passover lamb was without spot or blemish, representing the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. And after the sacrificing of the Passover lamb, 50 days after is the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Pentecost. 50 days after. Do you know that after Jesus was crucified and he rose from the dead, listen to this, for 40 days he appeared unto his disciples, convincing them that he was alive, that he was risen from the dead as flesh and blood, for 40 days. And after he ascended into heaven, the next 10 days the disciples were praying in the upper room. And at the end of 10 days, Pentecost occurred. You know, God poured out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. Amen? So 40 plus 10 is 50. And that's the exact number of days between the offering of the Passover lamb in Leviticus and the celebration of the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Pentecost. Hallelujah! That's why I'm excited about the Bible. Amen? Because prophetically, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah! And the scriptures have been fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ, in his sacrificial death, in his resurrection, and in his ascension. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So praise God. So today we're gonna look at the topic, God's purpose for publicly endorsing Jesus Christ as his son with miraculous signs and wonders. Amen? Let me read it again. God's purpose for publicly endorsing Jesus Christ as his son with miraculous signs and wonders. Hallelujah. So, put another way, we're going to be looking at what is the purpose of signs and wonders? What is the purpose of God bringing signs and wonders in the earth? This is so important because there are churches that believe that signs and wonders are not for today. That the signs and wonders came to an end when the apostles, the original apostles died. And there is nothing further from the truth. Amen? Praise God. So, God's purpose for publicly endorsing Jesus Christ as his son with miraculous signs and wonders. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your words are spirit and that they are life. Thank you that your words will never pass away, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask you to quicken our mortal bodies, give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Cause the eyes of our understanding to be further enlightened this morning, O God. Hallelujah. So that we might truly understand, we might truly know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless you and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, so let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Praise God. Now it says, because God's children are human beings. Amen. You and I are human beings. Praise God. Hallelujah. Made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. God can't die. God cannot die. Amen? So his Son, who is God, had to become flesh and blood so that he could die for our sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil. Amen. So what that tells us is that the devil also has power. But God had to break the power of the devil by sending Jesus to die for our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So listen now. Imagine this. God strategically caused Jesus Christ to be manifested in the flesh on earth. Amen? Now imagine you were alive during those days. And you saw Jesus Christ appear as a human being. Would you readily accept him as God? Let's be honest. Well, I'm being honest. It would be very difficult for me. Amen? And that's what happened in those days. Jesus Christ came as a human being. And people struggled with accepting Jesus Christ, who was in the form of a human being, as the Son of God. And so God had to devise a plan to convince humanity that Jesus Christ is his Son. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So look at the next slide. Mark 6:3. Now Jesus Mary was his mother and Joseph was his father. Joseph was Mary's husband. Joseph was not his father. God was Jesus' father. But Joseph was married to Mary. And after Jesus was born, Mary had children for Joseph. So Jesus had half brothers and sisters, so to speak. Amen. Now these half brothers and sisters, because they saw Jesus in his humanity, because they knew him as flesh and blood, the Bible says, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. In other words, the people were saying, how can Jesus claim to be the Son of God? And he has lived among us and we know his brothers and sisters. They struggle with it. Amen? And I am saying to you that if I was alive in that time, I too would struggle. Struggle. Amen? But the Bible says, they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. To believe what? To believe that he is the Son of God. They refused because they knew his brothers and sisters. Amen? And today, do you know that today there are other religions that do not embrace Jesus Christ as the Son of God? They say he's a prophet. They say he's just a mere man. So humanity, certain areas of humanity are still struggling with accepting Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 8:26-27. They were in a boat sailing, and there was a storm. There was a storm blowing. A very strong wind was blowing, and they were fearful of the boat overturning and dying, and they're dying. So, and they cried out to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, there's a storm." And Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Now, you know what God was doing? God was showing the disciples that Jesus had authority over the wind and the storm. In other words, he was no ordinary person. He was 100% God and 100% man. Hallelujah. Amen. He had the power of God in him. Praise God. Because he had control over the wind and the storm. Praise God. The disciples were amazed when he told the wind to be calm and the storm calm. They said, "Who is this man?" They recognized he was no ordinary man. They asked, "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Praise God. Hallelujah. So God was manifesting, you know, was publicly endorsing that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 8, 28 to 29. Jesus heals two demon-possessed men. Now watch this. This is very interesting. It says, when Jesus arrived on the other side of the lakes in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. Two men who were possessed by demons met him. And I want you to listen to what the demons said. Amen? Because what it instructs us about is that, you know, Jesus Christ did not only come to address humanity, but he came to address the satanic world. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. No one could manage them. No one could manipulate them. No one could set those men free from those demons. And there were magicians in those days. There were people who were working witchcraft, and they couldn't help the man. Verse 29 says, they began screaming at him. Why? Now listen to the words of the demons. "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God?" You heard what they call him? Son of God. The demons recognize Jesus as the Son of God. And today the demons still recognize Jesus as the Son of God. But there are men and women, boys and girls, who do not understand, do not know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come?" There's more revelation from the demons. Hear what it says. "Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" Did you hear what they said? "Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" You know what they were talking about? The judgment. The judgment of God. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And the demons understand, Satan understand, that they have an appointment with God to be judged and to be cast into eternal fire. Wow. I mean, this is heavy stuff. The demons had a heavy revelation. They understood that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that when he comes back, he's coming to judge the living and the dead. Did you hear what I said? He will come to judge the living and the dead. So if you are dead, you will not escape the judgment. Praise God. Because Jesus Christ is coming back to judge the living and the dead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we see here that not only did he have power over the winds and the waves, but he had power over the satanic forces. And later on in that passage, he rebuked the demons and they left the man. They left the men. Amen? Praise God. John chapter 2 and verse 11. Jesus was at a wedding feast. Praise God. Amen? And they ran out of wine. And his mother went to him and told some men, whatever he asks you to do, just do it. So they got 12 large jars, water in jars, and he said, fill them with water. And then he said, dip and pour out. And when they poured out, the water became wine. And what the Bible says? This miraculous sign. Look at the purpose of the sign. This is the purpose of the sign. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory. What glory? That he was the Son of God. That he was the Messiah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and his disciples believed in him. Praise God. So miraculous signs cause people to believe in Jesus. Miraculous signs cause people to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember, you know, before I became a Christian, that I, you know, my heart was very hard. And I did not believe that there was a God. I remember some people invited me to a prayer meeting. And I was, you know, three persons. I was the fourth person. And as they were praying, I was laughing out loud at them. I was mocking them. I was saying in my heart, what are these idiots doing? Why are they praying to God? That's what I was saying. And you know, God, thank God he didn't strike me dead. Praise God. God was merciful. And look at me now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, when I went after that, I was invited to a meeting. And when I went to the meeting, I saw signs and wonders occurring. I saw people casting out devils out of people. I saw people laying hands on the sick and they are being recovered. I saw, you know, the power of God being manifested. And I was convinced in my heart that there was a God and that the Bible was the Word of God. And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So signs and wonders are very important. Are very important. They demonstrate that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They demonstrate that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is calling sinners, is still calling sinners to himself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So his disciples believed in him after he turned water into wine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In Matthew 11 verses 2 to 6. Praise God. John the Baptist. Remember when John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus by the river. He saw the Holy Ghost descend in the form of a dove. And rested on Jesus' head. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John saw that vision. He heard the voice of God speaking from heaven. But now he was in prison and he was awaiting execution. His head was about to be chopped off and he was doubting the very existence of the Messiah whom he came to announce to humanity. So the Bible says in verse 2, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? You heard what I said? He asked the question, are you the Messiah? That same John who saw the Holy Ghost descend as a dove from heaven and land upon Jesus' head, and he heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That same John was now doubting the very existence of the Messiah. Amen. And do you know that there are times we all go through that? When we are going through trials, when we are going through affliction, you know, there are times when if we're not careful, we'll begin to doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So he said, "Are you the Messiah we have been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen." Praise God. What you have heard and seen. The blind see. The lame walk. Those with leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." What he was saying to John is, "John, the signs and the miracles that I am doing, they affirm that I am the Son of God, that I am the Messiah." Hallelujah. And he said, "Don't doubt me, John. Don't fall away. Don't fall away because you are being afflicted. Don't fall away because you are being persecuted. Don't fall away because you are broke. Don't fall away because you don't have a job. Don't fall away because many things are going wrong in your life. Put your trust in God." Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 14:28-33. Praise God. They were in a boat, and there was strong wind and waves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says, "So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus." Amen. Praise God. So God was showing them another miracle here. Jesus was walking on water. Humanly, that is impossible. Humanly, that is impossible. It takes the miracle working power of God for a human being to walk on water. And when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter said, "Lord, if it is you," because at first he thought it was a ghost. He said, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come. I have done it. You can do it if you trust in me." Amen. You can do it if you trust in Jesus. But when the Bible says that he went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Praise God. Do you know that if you're going through problems, if you're going through trials, and you take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to sink. You're going to sink. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So the Bible says in verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Praise God. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The wind stopped. He exercised power and authority over the wind again. It says, watch this, and I love this part. It says, "Then the disciples worshipped him." Why? Because they recognized from the miraculous activity that just happened that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Amen. They worshipped him. In other words, there was a process they go through before they fully realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. They worshipped him and they said, "You really are the Son of God." It's like they were convinced before, but they become more convinced now. And they said, "You really are the Son of God." They exclaimed, "Hallelujah. Praise the Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. John 11:17. Amen. Jesus' best friend Lazarus was sick. He was sick. And his sisters sent to call Jesus. And Jesus delayed. Jesus did not go to pray for Lazarus immediately. He did not go to heal Lazarus immediately. Praise God. You know, sometimes we are sick or we are in need, or there's a situation and we call out to Jesus and Jesus does not come immediately, and we conclude that Jesus does not love us. There is nothing farther from the truth. Amen. Jesus loved Lazarus. Praise God. But God wanted to reveal his glory in his life. Amen. So when Jesus arrived at Bethany, watch it, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. So Jesus waited until Lazarus died. And then he waited until Lazarus was in his grave for 4 days. Now, understand this. The Jews believed that for the first 3 days after death, the soul of the dead person tarries by the dead person's body, and that during those 3 days, that person can be resurrected. But they believe that if it goes over into 4 days after death, not even God can bring back the person from death. Can you imagine that? So what did Jesus do? Jesus waited for not 3 days, but he waited for 4 days. Amen? 4 days require a miracle. 3 days require a miracle too. But 4 days requires a greater miracle. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. So, after 4 days, Jesus came and he said, "Show me the tomb where his body lay." And one of Lazarus' sisters said, "No, Lord, because even now his body is rotting and smelling." And Jesus said, "Show me the tomb." Amen. So Jesus went and he stood up outside the tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the stone was rolled away and Lazarus came out wrapped in his grave clothes, full of life, fully resurrected. Hallelujah. Praise God. Demonstrating that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then, another time, Jesus appeared. He was speaking to the people. Amen. And he said to them, listen to these words. He said, All right. Jesus replied, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Who did he say would raise it up? He said, "I." He didn't say God. He said, "I will raise it up." Amen. Praise God. Verse 20 says, the people said, "What?" They exclaimed, "It has taken 46 years to build a temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days." They thought he was talking about the physical temple. Amen. But the Bible explains in verse 21, but when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. In other words, he was saying, destroy this body, kill this body, and in 3 days, I, Jesus, will raise up my own body. That's what he was saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is no ordinary Jesus. Amen. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. After, the Bible says in 22, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he said. And they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. Praise God. Do you believe? The Bible says, blessed are they that have seen and believe. But even more blessed are they who have not seen, but yet they believe. And that's you and I. We didn't witness it. We were not eyewitnesses of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But we believe what the Bible says. We believe by the supernatural manifestation of signs and miracles that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Can I have one more praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Acts 2:22. It says, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, when God poured out his spirit upon all flesh, praise God, Peter addressed the people. He said, people of Israel, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing miraculous wonders and signs through him, as you well know. In other words, what he was saying is that by these miraculous signs and wonders, God publicly endorsed the fact, the writings of the scripture, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for signs and wonders. So, we can ask the questions. After Pentecost, did the disciples, did the apostles still believe in signs and wonders? In miracles? Well, let's look at Acts 4:30. It says that they were praying. Amen? After persecution, they were praying. And this is what they prayed. And this is what you and I need to pray. Because nothing happens unless we pray. We need to understand that. Being a believer does not mean that you don't need to pray. Amen? Praise God. It says, this is what they prayed. They said, Lord, stretch out your hand with healing power. Praise God. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. That was their daily prayer. That was their prayer. May miraculous signs and wonders, stretch out your healing hand. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. We need to pray that prayer. Amen. We need to pray that prayer every day. We need to pray that prayer more than once per day. Because when God stretches forth his healing hand and he performs miraculous signs and wonders, people will know that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So miraculous signs and wonders have a place in Christian ministry. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, I just thank God for his word. Amen. So today, what did we see? We saw that because we are made of flesh and blood, that God sent his Son into the world as flesh and blood. Amen? So that he could die for our sins. Because God, if he came as God, he could not die. God can't die. Amen? And then we saw that God performed miraculous signs and wonders in Jesus' life while he was here on earth. And the purpose of these signs and wonders was to demonstrate to the disciples and to others that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah. And as they saw the miraculous signs and wonders, they concluded that indeed Jesus is the Son of God. Because do you know that a lot of the miracles that Jesus performed, nobody else can perform it. And even to this day, I don't care what science you are involved in, I don't care what magic you are involved in, there is a limitation to the satanic world. The satanic world cannot compare with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Cannot compare with the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Because on this day, 2020 years ago, God poured out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. And praise the Lord. Amen. If you are a Christian, God has poured out his Spirit upon your flesh. Amen. Praise God. If you're not a Christian, you can have that experience. You can have that experience. You can have God pour out his Spirit upon you. You can become a son or a daughter of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say to me, well, you know, Pastor, my mother went to church and I went to the church, so I am all right. Amen. But it doesn't work like that. Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. I have 2 children. Praise God. My wife and I, you know, we have been pastor in this church. But praise God, my children did not automatically become Christians. They had to know God for themselves. They had to be born again. And Nicodemus could not understand what it meant to be born again. He said, how can a man re-enter his mother's womb? He thought it was a physical thing. But Jesus said, no, there must be an encounter between the Spirit of God and the human spirit in order for a human being to be born again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So, is there anyone here? You are not a Christian, and you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ. You'd like to be a follower, not only a believer, but a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are here, and that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand right in your seat and allow me to pray with you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And for those online, if you are watching online and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just open your heart and say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Save me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Before we close, I want to just pray for 2 conditions. Amen. I don't know if there's someone in here that has any or both condition, or whether online. Amen. But I want to pray for Brown syndrome. Brown syndrome. Now, what is Brown syndrome? It is whenever there's a tendon that is attached to the outside of the eye, and it has something wrong with it. When it is affected, it limits movement of the eye. It limits movement of the eye, the mobility of the eye. That's Brown syndrome. Amen. I don't know if there's anybody who has any kind of eye condition like that. If so, in the audience, if that's so, does you can just hold up your hand. The other thing is, in terms of coughing, you might not be coughing now, but sometimes you have, coughing occurring. Praise God. One person, anybody else? Amen. Just want to pray for you. Amen. All right. So let's just pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just commit the condition of Brown syndrome to you, Lord. And Father, I just pray for your healing of that affected tendon now, Lord. I speak healing to that tendon now in the name of Jesus. And I command the mobility, the normal mobility of that eye to be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just speak to that coughing condition. I speak healing to the bronchioles and to the chest, to the throat area. I renounce that infection in the name of Jesus. And I command it to go in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.